And this person said to me, Lauren, you know, if you are looking for a change, have you ever considered the trades at all? And up until this point, I actually had not. I had been basically groomed my whole life for university, like a lot of people are, and that's not a bad thing. But I just don't think I was considering all my options.
Hi, welcome to the Build Your Future podcast. My name is Gabe Isaac, and I am the former Indigenous Projects and Apprenticeship Coordinator. We have here my new host.
My name's Lauren.
All right. And before we get started, let's do our land acknowledgement. I would like to acknowledge that we are located in the traditional unceded homelands of the Wolastoqiyik Maliseet people. This territory and all of New Brunswick are covered by the Treaties of Peace and Friendship, which the Wolastoqiyik, Mi'kmaq, and Passamaquoddy's people first signed with the British Crown in 1725. The treaties did not deal with the surrender of lands and resources, but in fact recognized Wolastoqiyik, Mi'kmaq, and Passamaquoddy title and established the rules for what was to be an ongoing relationship between nations. Thank you. All right, now moving on to our questions. My name is Gabe. I am, again, no longer the Indigenous Projects and Apprenticeship Coordinator. I am, of course, still here with JEDI, working as the Executive Administrative Assistant. So super excited to be here, but this might be your last time seeing me. Of course, we have Lauren here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing here at JEDI?
Yeah, no problem. So as you have already said, that I'll be taking over, and I have taken over, the Indigenous Projects and Apprenticeship Coordinator position here at JEDI. Some of the things that I will be doing is coordinating skilled trades programs within different communities in the province. We also coordinate some camps and some other activities, more about that later. But I'm really looking forward to my role, and I'm really excited to get started.
Great. I'm so excited, just kind of passing the torch off to you, Lauren.
Yeah,
it's great to have you. We've met a couple times before. So again, it was super excited just to see you in this new role, just to seeing you take on IPAC. All right, so let's get to the questions.
Yeah.
So Lauren, where are you from?
Oh, so I currently live in Moncton, New Brunswick, but I, similar to yourself, am originally from the Gaspé Coast, specifically Gaspé, the city, as well as I am a member of Gaspé First Nation.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Like, I always love the Gaspé Coast, or like Gaspé-Gawagi, right? It's such a beautiful, beautiful area.
Gorgeous.
So we're like basically...
But we're biased.
Yeah.
Probably.
A little. I mean, we're basically cousins at this point, so...
Yeah, no, we are.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your educational background? Like, what are you bringing to JEDI? Like, what brings you to the IPAC role?
Sure. So interestingly enough, I didn't actually start out... pursuing this type of career.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people in their 20s, I've kind of moved around from thing to thing, trying to, you know, figure out what I am really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I actually started out in social sciences at CEJAP in Gaspé. Yeah. I studied the social sciences with a focus of psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I decided to not continue with academics and do a complete 180 change,
mm-hmm.
and move to Moncton and take pre-employment at MBCC.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, that's better than what I was doing in my 20s. Not that what I was doing in my 20s wasn't interesting. I did work at a radio station for a couple of years.
Nice.
It kind of shows, I like to think, with the voice. But that's really interesting.
Thank you. Yeah.
I had never, funny with the location, I was living in Quebec, I had never... CEJAP wasn't an option for us because we had taken our education in New Brunswick.
Right.
So I did take my grade 12 in New Brunswick.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which, if no one knows, or from what I understand with Quebec education, you go right to grade 12 and then you do like, grade 11.
Yes.
And then you kind of do that CEJAP, which is like a more tailored to the career you're looking into, kind of like a grade 12 experience, right?
Yeah. CEJAP is not mandatory. High school finishes at grade 11, and then from there you've graduated high school. But if within Quebec you are looking to attend university, for certain programs, you do need to take CEJAP as a prerequisite. I don't believe it is necessary, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, like I said, I went to school in New Brunswick, so grade 12 and then just whatever I wanted to do after that.
Yeah. My experience at NBCC when I was taking plumbing was incredible.
Yeah.
It wasn't something, as I said, that I was initially interested in. Really what it came down to was I was looking for a change, really.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that academics didn't interest me anymore. It's just the process of that for where I was in my life at that time wasn't something that was interesting to me. Academics still interest me to this day, but at that point in my life, I was looking for something different, and I do believe it's paid off because it's led me here.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me because, like, I kind of did something a little similar to, like, mind you, I didn't really pursue anything immediately after high school. I kind of just worked, but I had done a couple of, like, career exploration programs within my community, and I had actually taken administration, and I didn't like it.
Really?
I didn't like it, but I realized as time had gone on and I started doing a little bit of administration stuff at the radio station, that I just needed the training. I just needed a better understanding of
it. Right. It wasn't the right time.
No. It's funny. I actually did a presentation in my community about my journey with the organization that had done the Career Exploration Program, which is the LMDC.
Okay.
The Listigouche Mi'kmaq Development Center. They funded my education and they had invited me back in to just talk about my story.
Right.
And one quote in my presentation was, after that career exploration program, a lot of doors were left open for me.
Yes.
Or no, a lot of doors were left unlocked but unopened because I was not ready yet. And
it's funny how that happens in life, isn't it? Not to sound cheesy or anything, but it is interesting how that happens, right?
Life's a little cheesy. life's a little cheesy. I ended up at NBCC. Love the radio station, and I might eventually go back someday, like when I retire, just maybe to manage, like a little side job or something.
Yeah.
But I got sick of making minimum wage.
Yeah.
My friend was moving to Fredericton. I picked NBCC, and I had a great time there. I think the education quality that I received was top notch.
I agree. And it's something that I've spoken about before. I recently was featured in a McLean's article talking about that very thing. Oh, thank you. a little humble brag, but really it's not even for myself. It's really just to kind of shout out NBCC and talk about the delivering the level of education that they've been. I can speak to Moncton campus because that's where I, you know, took my training and it was an incredible experience. And I, you know, hashtag not spawn, would love to, you know, recommend that as an option to people.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think college is a good route to a career. Like, depending on what your needs are. Of course, you can always take a JEDI program. We do offer some trades training programs.
Absolutely.
What did you go to NBCC for?
Sure.
And why that?
Okay. So, you know, as it was approaching time for, you know, to register for a university, that you know, of course, and I did. I registered to some universities, accepted. I actually, during this period of time, was talking to academic advisors and that sort of thing, right? The standard of what a lot of students who are, you know, kind of questioning what they'd like to do for their future, you know, you reach out to some resources and you do some research, right? So it was actually suggested to me, NBCC was, by my academic advisor at Seja.
Oh, wow.
And this person said to me, Lauren, you know, if you are looking for a change, have you ever considered the trades at all? And up until this point, I actually had not. I had been basically groomed my whole life for university, like a lot of people are, and that's not a bad thing, but I just don't think I was considering all my options. And then when I actually did consider my options, I've always loved New Brunswick, frequently here. As someone on the coast, that's we all share in that, I think.
Yeah.
And it appealed to me, and so I looked at some programs, and interestingly enough, plumbing, I was just scrolling, and within the plumbing program, the photo that they had used for the program was actually a past participant who was a woman. And, you know, they say representation matters, but it really does.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that stood out to me,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, huh, and then I started doing some research about, you know, is this industry sustainable? Is this something that you can see, you know, a future career in for a long period of time? And I was, disappointed to find out that, disappointed and happy, I'll say this.
Okay.
Disappointed to find out that we were going to be needing so many tradespeople within the next few years.
Yeah.
But excited for myself and others who are looking to potentially get into the skilled trades, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's very encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
So all of those things were factors in my decision to branch out and try something new.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think of plumbing. I look at a lot of careers, right? You know, at a certain point, you can have too many data analysts or whatnot, but like, you're always, no matter who you are, you're always going to need a plumber for your home.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all the people I've worked with in the last couple years would like to believe so too.
I mean, I currently need a plumber right now.
I can hook you up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to just call the landlord, but like, I mean, every home needs a plumber. That's just not something that ever goes out of style.
Yeah.
You're always going to need your shower, your toilet, your sink fixed.
And I think it's, not to cut you off, but I think this is an interesting point that you bring up. Not a lot of people know, I think, all the avenues within plumbing.
Yeah.
The heating aspect, gas, those are not things the commercial people always think residential home service.
Mm-hmm.
But that is only one aspect of yeah.
Fill me in. Okay. Like, what? Tell me about plumbing other than toilets. Because when I think plumbing, I think toilets.
Sure.
And
you're not wrong.
That is absolutely one thing that plumbers take care of. But like, what are some unexpected avenues that, you know, plumbers take care of?
I would say to stick with the ones I've named, a lot of plumbers have the opportunity to get what we refer to as your gas ticket.
Okay.
Once you are a licensed plumber.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of helps you branch off into a different avenue, right? Mm-hmm. That's one thing. In-floor radiant heating is something that other people do. It's part of the plumbing trade in and of itself. So it is something that you learn within your blocks along the way. But it's also not something that people immediately think about when they think of a plumber.
Huh.
I know.
That makes sense.
I didn't even know, because when I had went to NBCC, mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about plumbing. And that's why I actually chose to go and take free employment, because I thought it was a nice, well-rounded, 50-50 of theory and also work practicum, sort of thing, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah. I just wanted to set myself up for the best way possible. And I learned along the way some of these other types of jobs that you can have, which I was surprised.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, adjacent to skilled trades careers, mm-hmm. you have jobs similar to what you have done and what I am now currently doing, right?
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Like, working IPAC, it's funny because you are doing a lot of trades things, but you're also in the office. It's a
Absolutely.
Very, there's a lot of things going on here.
Right, it's very hybrid mm-hmm. between the two. But I love that. I love that aspect. I like to see both the industry side as well as the workforce side.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really helps with perspective on where the future of our economy in the province and the country will be headed in the next few years.
Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity there for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, Lauren. So like, what's life like as a plumbing apprentice? Like, what was that process like?
What's like the day in the life?
Day in the life of a plumbing apprentice.
Sure. I wouldn't say it's, I don't want to downplay it at all, but I wouldn't say it's anything over the top. Your days start pretty early, depending on, you know, company, project that you're working for.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, I've worked a variety of shifts, but you're up pretty much early in the morning. Go to the job site, wherever you might be. You may be working outside, you may be working inside. And I've only really ever worked commercial plumbing.
Oh, okay.
So large buildings. So you're really just trying to learn as much as you can. You're given a set of tasks to do for the day.
Mm-hmm.
When you start out, they'll usually always pair you with someone for a little bit just to kind of show you the ropes and make sure you understand.
Yeah, makes sense.
But if you, you know, are the type of person that advocates for yourself and, mm-hmm. you know, you're taking your apprenticeship seriously and your education,
mm-hmm.
Then, yeah, I think you'll have more tasks to do and you'll learn more. I think in the skilled trades, speaking up and saying, hey, you know, I'd like to take on this new project or be a part of this,
mm-hmm.
Is kind of maybe what they're looking for sometimes. Is not always, but I think it's encouraging for mm-hmm. them to see someone who's interested in learning, right? That yep. just, and I think no matter what job environment we're in, I think that's a good sign for everyone, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. All right, so I see that you're not exactly working plumbing anymore.
No.
No. So how did you end up here? How did you end up a Jedi? Like, okay. What was the path out of, like, being deep, elbows deep into the
on the tools, like, yeah. as they say. Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. So I was actually, I went from working within the trades mm-hmm. and I stopped for a period of time to take a job at MAP Strategic Workforce Services mm-hmm. as the new boots coordinator.
Nice.
And I know you're familiar with the program, but mm-hmm. for the people who aren't, it's a program designed specifically to help encourage women in the skilled trades.
Oh, sweet.
So that's kind of how I started within this world and this aspect. That's how I actually met you. Yeah. And some other team members at Jedi and some other organizations. And that's kind of how I got my start. Mm-hmm. Then I went back and kept plumbing because I'm the kind of person where I do enjoy some variety. And that's just something that appeals to me and kind of helps with my general happiness of life.
That's
so,
fair.
Yeah, I think we all like to mix it up sometimes. So I was plumbing again. Mm-hmm. And then this opportunity came up. And it's always been somewhere that's been on my radar. I've always enjoyed all the team members that mm-hmm. I've met. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That's you, Gabe. So when the opportunity came up, naturally, I was excited and I applied immediately because mm-hmm. it's always been something that I think the initiative is very important. So mm-hmm. any way I could be a part of that was what I was going to try to do.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Lauren, like, I remember seeing you on your first day, or I remember getting the announcement that, like, oh, Lauren's been hired, like, you know, in our email. And I was like, oh, I know her. And I was so excited. We're so lucky to have you.
Thank you so much.
And it's just nice, too, because, like, I know one struggle that, like, I had in your position, too, was looking for plumbers, surprisingly. Yeah. And I was like, oh, great. Now we have, like, a plumber on staff.
I just want to be clear, though. Yeah. I am still a plumbing apprentice.
Yeah.
I'm not a fully licensed plumber, and I know in the trades it's I know you say that, but I just want to clarify. I don't want to take credit for something that I haven't earned yet, and I'm still very much a plumbing apprentice.
That's fair. Even me myself, like, I don't have any formal trades training. We know this. I'm an admin.
Do we know this?
Yes, we definitely know this. I'm sure I've mentioned it before. I've always been more on the administration side of things, and I'm very happy that Jedi has given me the opportunity to kind of go into where I'm more experienced, where I'm, like, I enjoy this. I love an IPAC, but I really enjoy what I do now. Yeah. Anyways, as I was saying, IPAC had given me plenty of opportunity to learn more about trades and even given me those hands-on little training opportunities.
Yeah.
Would not call myself a carpenter or a chef or anything, but this opportunity, or the position of IPAC, gives you plenty of time to kind of flex your skills that you have.
Yeah.
You don't need... I think in your position, I don't think you need to be a full-blown plumber. But, you know, I think you're still going to bring those skills that you do have, the skills that you're still honing.
Yeah.
You were going to bring that to this position, and a lot of people are going to learn from you. And, you know, it's going to be great because, you know, they're going to see how fun plumbing is. And then they're going to be like, oh, now I got to take my apprenticeship.
This is where it all starts.
This is where it all starts.
That's how we encourage people to join the trades. Mm-hmm.
So, it's going to be a lot of fun. And then you're going to also learn how to be a carpenter a little bit. You're going to learn how to do all these little things. I did welding. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I definitely would not call myself a welder by any means. My God, I am not a welder. But I now feel a little bit more confident in just, like, using a welding torch.
Yeah.
The different types of welding torches. So you're not a Red Steel plumber, but, you know, you're gonna be, like, super well-rounded, jack of all trades. Right. Know a little bit of everything.
And it is also super empowering to, excuse me, mm-hmm. To learn a new skill, right? Even if you don't plan on continuing with it, it feels great to learn something new.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I still might leave Jedi to be a welder. I don't know. I'm kidding. I won't.
We'll cut this out now.
Oh, my God. I really did enjoy welding.
I know. I've heard you speak about it before.
My God, I really enjoyed welding.
And I think it also helped that the group that you were partnering with was a great group, and everyone that was involved in that process did a really good job.
So Wesley Peltier was our last guest.
Yes.
And he is such an amazing welder.
Yes.
And he's an amazing teacher, too. He's not just a welder. Like, being in the shop with Wesley Peltier was such a treat because he sat down and explained it. Why welding works the way it works, shows you the best techniques from what he's experienced, even just how to stand at a table with when you're welding something, like crazy, but he made it so engaging. So I really hope you find plenty of opportunities to kind of experience that with different trades. And there's so much variety.
I'm
it's
really
so good.
I'm looking forward to it.
So I get, you know, we're down to our last question. Like, so what's your plans? What do you plan to accomplish with IPAC? Moving forward,
I think because the role is pretty diverse compared to everything I've done previously in the past, I'm looking forward to learning even more about the role as I continue to coordinate the program. Mm-hmm. But really, I'm just looking forward to bringing resources together for Indigenous people in the communities of New Brunswick. To know what opportunities and resources that they have available to them, and help anybody who's interested in joining the skilled trades with that process. At the end of the day, we've got a workforce that's in dire need of apprentices, and Indigenous people are a group of people that are considered an untapped resource within the skilled trades. And I'm looking to find out more of why that is and what barriers are there and how we can break them down. That's what I'm looking to do. Wish me luck, Gabe.
You got this. High five. I got to do one high five per podcast. It is my last one. I think that really wraps it up. And, you know, thank you so much, Lauren. And thank you for having me. It's
absolutely
I know it's,
no problem, Gabe.
I think it's so funny because it's like, you're having me here. I'm not having you here this
right.
time.
Right, isn't this is a strange swap for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to your future podcast.
Thank you, and I'm looking forward to hopefully bringing on some guests within the next year or so that interest the viewers, and hopefully we can gain some viewers, and I'm just looking forward to this experience all around, so thank you. Thank you, Gabe.
Thank you.